This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with what is part two of a message that we started in the month of December of the year 1998. This is part two of the message, which is being put on audio from the message that was first published in January of the year 1999. Now, the reason why I'm giving you these dates, if you don't already know, is because sometimes in reading the message, putting it on audio, I might be making references to certain things or certain people or places that were relevant back at that particular time when this message was first published, that may or may not be relevant for today. And I'll try to let you know when I come across a situation like that in this message. However, as I always say, when it comes to the Word of God, it is always relevant, yesterday, today, and forever. That means it's relevant 6,000 years ago, it's relevant today, and should the Lord tarry, it will be relevant for 6,000 years from now. And it would be well advised if those that are exposed to it, talking about the Word of God, that you take heed to it and adjust your lives accordingly. Now, having said that, let's get into the message, which our subject scripture for this message is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. And as I say, this is for January of the year 1999 when it was first published. If you have your scripture available, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" The title for this message is Common Ground, Part Number 2. Now, last month, we were looking at the problems we have in the world as pertaining to relationships between the people. And we came to one conclusion, and that is something needs to be done so that we can live together in harmony. With the new millennium fast approaching, we want to be able to get all of this hatred, mistrust, bigotry, racism, and all the other things that tend to keep us at odds with each other. We want to put that behind us. We want to do this not only for ourselves, but also for our children and their children, and so on. One solution we were looking at is one that seems to have a wide range of support. It is known as common ground. This concept that is widely promoted by a well-known preacher in the African-American community is one that basically says we need to find one thing that we can all have in common and start building from there. And as I mentioned, I have no problem with the concept of doing what is necessary to live at peace with all mankind. That is something that all of us need to do, especially those that name the name of Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And Matthew 22 verses 36 through 39 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, as you can see, Christians have little excuse when it comes to doing the right thing. Yet, as I said last month, in doing what is necessary to achieve this end, there is a line that I will not cross, and neither should any other Christian. As the subject scripture says, we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that is where common ground, as perceived by most of us, and what the Bible says, bump heads. You see, the core or foundation of man's existence, like it or not, is God, more explicitly, Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, in St. John chapter 1, verses number 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Then if you skip down to verse number 14, it says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if the Word, or Jesus, was God, and all things were made by Him, then that means He is our Creator. Therefore, anybody that does not agree with this is someone whose advice I will not listen to if it violates anything that the Bible teaches. As far as associating with the ungodly and something like that, like on a job or as neighbors or even in some instances helping them when they are in trouble, I have no problem with that, is unless the help they want crosses what God says is right. You see, everything that I do after considering how God sees the problem and following the solutions that He will accept. For instance, most of the problems people have in this world are the direct result of their own disobedience to God, talking about sin. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 4, this is what's known as I John, not Saint John, but 1 John, which is back near the book of Revelations. Chapter number 3, verse number 4 says, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. In the book of James, chapter number 4, verses 1 through 4. For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of, now listen to this, know ye not that the friendship of the world is at enmity with God, or is at war with God? So he said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Lust, envy, covetousness, adultery, murder, lying and such. All of these are rampant in our society today. And God is saying, when you are guilty of these things, you will suffer. Look at it like this. You continually sow the seeds to your own destruction. Then you water and fertilize them day after day and year after year. Then, when that destruction blooms or comes forth, you then want help to keep from having to suffer for what you have been doing. Now, if you ask me for my help, I will give it to you the way Jesus says to do it. First, if the need is immediate, I will do what I am able to do in the area of giving food, clothing, or in some cases, money. Next, I will begin to tell you about Jesus and how he can be the answer to all of your problems. I will tell you about his love for you and his desire to save you. Next, I will tell you about the sin nature that you have in you that is at war or at enmity with God. In the case of drugs or drug addicts or homosexuals, fornicators, adulterers, gamblers, con artists and such, I will let you know that you are on a path to destruction and you need to change your life. It is usually at this point that I can tell by their response whether they are taking what I am saying to heart or dismissing it. That response will be a determining factor if I will help them again, and if so, for how long. The reason for this is simple, though it seems hard. Helping a person to continue in their sin will ultimately destroy them and even endanger my soul. The longer they stay in it, the more rooted they get, and the harder it is for them to get out of it, because the roots are deep. If a Christian is the one helping them, then they see it as God supporting what they are doing. That is why I say there are problems with the common ground concept. The world may not see it, but then again, if we look at Alcoholics Anonymous, we see much the same principle. They won't or can't help anybody that doesn't want it. And the person must be willing to do what is necessary to overcome the problem. Most of you want to get out of the problems that you are in, but you are not willing to be totally free of the cause of your problems, which is sin. Then, when you find out that people that could help you won't, talking about Christians, you try putting a guilt trip on them. Yeah, and you supposed to be a Christian, huh? Where's that love of God that you are supposed to be showing? Does that sound familiar? You don't realize just how much love we Christians are showing by saying no. Just like with Alcoholics Anonymous. They are successful in what they're doing and getting people off of alcohol by telling the people the certain things that they won't do and having the family members go along with it and say they aren't going to help do things for the alcoholic or the drug addict either. That's referring to things like giving them money or taking them someplace or something along that line. Like I say, what you are trying to get us to do is compromise with you. That's what it all boils down to when you hear sayings like that. But anyway, you stay the same and we lighten up a bit. When that doesn't work, then you have the politicians to pass laws to make us give you something so you can have the best of sin and not have to suffer for it. Not meaning to rattle anyone's cages, but most of you must think God is some kind of a fool or something, especially people in this nation. We think we can arbitrarily go against what God says and still be getting blessings from Him. Big mistake. All you have to do is look around and see the results of this lunacy. For the sake of space, I won't put it on this track, but if you get a chance, read the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. Read the whole thing. It's about 64 verses. Read what happens to those that are obedient to God. You can find that in the first 14 verses. Then read all of what happens to those that are disobedient to Him. These things not only happen to them, but they happen to their children. And it is along these lines that most people are suffering or causing others to suffer. Hatred, racism, and bigotry are the result of the sin that is in mankind. And there isn't one single thing that you or I can do to eliminate it. Legislation and punishment to those that are guilty of it has never and will never alleviate it. It takes the power of God to change a man's heart to eliminate it, and He will only do it if we move His way. Jesus said, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed? How can light walk with darkness? How can holiness walk with unholiness? How can the church walk with the world?" The only way any of that could happen is only if they be agreed. Then they are in effect yoked together. If you ever have seen a yoke of horses or oxen pulling a plow or plowing a field, you will see that they walk in the same direction at the same time, at the same pace, and stop and start at the same time. If they didn't do that, nothing would get done. Today, with so many in church wanting to be politically correct and wanting to be at peace with the world, having sought common ground, you can't tell them apart from the ungodly or the world. You will see them at the casinos. You will see them in the lottery lines. You will see them shacking up. You will see them doing all sorts of things that the ungodly do. You go to some of their churches and the word sin is never used. The homosexual isn't committing sin. He was made that way by God. They even have preachers that are gay, and they perform gay weddings. Two things here. First, if the pastor is gay, then you are not in a church. It might have church out on the sign, or it might be trying to identify itself as a church, but it is not a church that is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Second, what they call a wedding isn't. It is all debauchery. It is mocking what God has instituted. If you are a member of any group that calls themselves a church, and this type of activity is going on with its approval, you better get out of there quick. Compromise is everywhere. We have people that come in here from other countries because they hear this is a land of prosperity and freedom, and they want to have something better for themselves and their children. Now, America got like this because of God raining His blessings down on us because we acknowledged Him in everything we did. Well, these people that came to this nation came here with the idea of sharing in the blessings that God has given us. But when they got here and started seeing the nativity scenes in the public places, and seeing the Ten Commandments in our schools, and pictures of Jesus all over the place, they got offended and went to the government to make us take these things down, and the politicians and the courts ordered them taken down or removed. This is the only nation in the world where outsiders can come in and make us change our laws to please them. My question is, many of these people come from other nations where they believe in their gods. Now, if their god or belief system couldn't take care of them where they were, then why would they come here and try to get us to turn to that system and reject the God that has blessed us to be the most powerful nation in the world, bar none? And you know what happens? We fall for it. Then we wonder why this nation is slowly deteriorating into little more than a 20th century Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what compromise with the ungodly will do for you. Our economy is failing. Our leaders are corrupt. Crime is out of control. Our teens are killing each other off and having kids. Our schools are a joke. This and more are the results of compromise with the world. What can be done, you say? First, we need to get back to God, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, and repent. We then need to separate ourselves from those that want to receive parts of the blessings of God but don't want to do what is needed to receive them on their own. This separation may even mean separating yourselves from friends and even family. Look at what Jesus says here. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 34 says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." In following Christ, there is going to be separation. You can't follow Christ and be a friend of the world at the same time. They are going in opposite directions. Peace will come to the earth only when Jesus brings it. Man can forget trying to make that happen. That peace will be in a totally different dispensation than we are in today. This scripture is what he brought with him this time. Matthew chapter number 10, verses 35 down to 39. He says, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the foes," or a man's foes, "shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Hard words, aren't they? Well, I am glad Jesus said them and not me. But because he did say them, then I have to operate within the realm of what he said. There is no room for compromise or common ground unless Jesus is that ground and foundation. Yes, my friends, the concept is good, but the solution that the world wants to pursue isn't. to get rid of the problems, we need to get rid of the source, sin. And that can only be done through Christ. Well, that's the end of our message. And I hope that you've gotten something from listening to both parts. But you see, that's basically our main problem, is we just don't want to give God any credit for anything. We don't want to follow His directions. We think we know better than God. We do our thing. And it always comes down to the same thing. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, and Proverbs 16 and 25 both say the same thing. There is a way that seems right to a man, or there is a way that seems right to the world, or to the ungodly. There's always something that seems right to men. And that, I don't care how educated you are, if you've been educated in the world system, that makes you doubly, puts you in doubly more the harder to get out of the situation, primarily because you think your education and your teachers, and not trying to make it sound any disrespect given to them, but even your parents a lot of times may be the source of your problems because of the way they raised you and taught you to believe certain things that were not true. They didn't know themselves that it wasn't true. So I'm not going to say that your parents lied to you or deceived you, but if your parents grew up and they were deceived by whomever they were listening to, they passed that knowledge on down to you, so you wind up in the same boat. So this is why a lot of this is why I think a lot of people stick to staying the way that they are. You know, I've heard people, when being faced with the fact about being alcoholics and stuff and so forth, whatever, they come back and say, well, my grandfather was an alcoholic, my father was an alcoholic, and I'm going to be an alcoholic as well. That's just the way it is. No, see, that's the lie that the devil trying to tell you. See, Jesus can break that up like that. Now, I'm saying, well, even with groups like Alcoholics and Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, they have a track record of getting people sober and straight, which basically is founded on a large part by what the Bible says about following after a certain path and not worried about what your friends say or what your family says or anything else. Just like Jesus said earlier, if you love your friends, or you love the world, or you love your mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, or friends more than Him, you're not worthy of Him. Why? You're not worthy of Him doing anything for you, because you're going to usually heap whatever He does for you back on those people that you love more than Him. So that's the problem. We come up with all these solutions. We get these politicians in office talking about the fact they're going to do this and they're going to do that, all for the sake of what you think is trying to bring people together. Yeah, they want to bring us together, but they want to bring us together outside of the realm of what God says is necessary for Him to allow whatever you're trying to do to succeed. Are you understanding me? So the thing is, we need to get back to God. And I don't care who it is we offend, that's on them. Tough words, isn't it? But that's the gospel. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message. And as usual in closing, let me just say, may God bless you and your families real good until we come together for another message. Good day.